Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And we are glad that you could join us here today. Our friend Joe, who also works here at Studio Classroom, wrote a lesson in culture. Now, she found a foreign land in her home country. Carolyn, have you ever been to a foreign country?
I have been to a foreign country, Gabe. In fact, I've been to about 6 different foreign countries, but one that I went to recently was Indonesia, and it has so many beautiful landscapes.
Interesting. I would like to visit Indonesia. I have never been there. Nathaniel, have you ever visited a foreign country? What was unique about that place?
I have visited Singapore, which is a very unique place because it's a country that really is mostly a city, and it's one of the nicest cities I have ever been to.
I've been there too. I really like it. I also went to Romania. It was a very laid-back country. Well, we're going to find out about Joe's experiences, a lesson in culture. Let's get started with our first reading for today.
A lesson in culture. I found a foreign land in my home country. I've had many opportunities to experience living in a foreign culture, but my first experience came in an unexpected place, my own country. When I was 20, I got an internship in New York City. It was my first time to live outside of my home state of Texas. With my move north came culture shock. I grew up in a big city in Texas, but it was no comparison to the tightly packed boroughs of New York with their 8 million residents.
Hello, friends. This is your Word Lady Joanna. Today we'll be hearing about one girl's experience with culture shock. What's that? We'll learn all about it in the article. But first, here are your key words. Internship. Internship is a noun. Many students apply for an internship at that company, but only a few are accepted. Culture shock. Culture shock is a noun. Culture shock is normal when you move to a new country that is different from your own. Constantly. Constantly is an adverb. Taylor's mother was constantly telling her to clean her room. Confusion. Confusion is a noun. Your appointment is on Wednesday, not Tuesday. I'm sorry for the confusion. Your more information words are borough. Borough is a noun. Hub. Hub is a noun. Let's learn more in the article.
I found a foreign land in my home country. That's what Joe wrote. She did not go to a foreign country, as we found out. She found a foreign land, a strange place or a strange culture. Sometimes the word foreign can mean strange. How else can you use the word foreign, Nathaniel?
I think of maybe hearing about a foreign idea, something new to you that you've never heard of. It's foreign to me.
It's foreign to me. It's unfamiliar. What is foreign to you, Carolyn?
Well, there are a lot of foreign foods that I've tried eating, such as chow tofu.
Ooh, yes, that is a foreign food to lots of people. I've gotten used to it over the years, but it was very foreign to me at first, and the smell was foreign too. Well, Joe writes, I've had many opportunities to experience living in a foreign culture, but my first experience came in an unexpected place. And where was this unexpected place, Nathaniel?
My own country, she says. Even in her own country, she found a place that was foreign to her.
That's right. This is very unexpected for us, too. When we expect to hear about going to another country, she is just talking about going to another place in her own country. She says, when I was 20, I got an internship in New York City. An internship. Now, this is one of our word bank words. If you are an intern somewhere, you're working somewhere, but you're not a full-time worker, are you, Carolyn?
No. Usually you're there for a shorter period of time, maybe just for a summer, or it could be for about a year, and sometimes you don't get paid for the work you do.
Okay, so that's very unique about an internship. You don't necessarily get paid money for working as an intern. Well, how can you use this word internship? Maybe you know someone who is an intern somewhere. You can say, how's your internship going? What's your internship experience like?
I had an internship last summer at a church in the United States, and actually I did get paid, so maybe I got lucky.
Well, it sounds like your internship experience was a little better than some people's experiences. So, do you have any friends who are interns? You can ask them these kinds of questions. Tell them to talk about their internships. Maybe you are an intern too. Well, Joe continues, it was my first time to live outside of my home state of Texas. So, Texas is a little bit different from New York. Have you guys been to either of these places?
Well, I've been to New York about 3 times, and it's very different from my hometown.
It is very different from your hometown, which is where?
It is from rural West Virginia.
Okay, rural West Virginia. That is a little bit different from New York, I'm assuming. And Texas is too, from Joe's experience in New York. She says, with my move north came culture shock. I think many of us know what culture shock feels like. This is also one of our word bank words. And culture shock is just what you feel when you experience a different culture. It's not pleasant. How can you use this word culture shock, Nathaniel?
When you go to another country, you might have culture shock when you try the new kinds of foods that you're not really used to.
That's right. You could experience culture shock in that way. Sometimes if you live in a foreign country for a long time, you experience reverse culture shock going back to your home country. That's reverse, R-E-V-E-R-S-E, culture shock. Well, Joe grew up in a big city in Texas. And I think right now it's time for us to enjoy some time with Ken and Steve at the Information Cloud.
Steve, since we're talking about city living, let's review some words that can help us describe exactly what kind of community we live in.
Okay, let's start in the countryside. For that area, we use the word rural. People from rural areas might live in a small village, and they probably have a job connected to something like farming or fishing.
And if you're heading from a rural area toward a city, you'll come to the suburbs. A suburb has a lot more people than the country, but not as many as a city. It's in between.
That's right. And the adjective of suburb is suburban. People who live in the suburbs often commute every day to a nearby city or urban area for work.
Speaking of urban, Steve, what is an urban revolution?
Well, that's what's happening right now. We are living in what is called an urban revolution. For the past 30 years, millions of people around the world have been moving from rural areas to urban areas.
So rural areas are shrinking and urban areas are growing?
Big time. Some urban areas have grown so big, they have a special name now, megacity. Megacities are cities that have a population of at least 10 million people. Of the 27 megacities in the world, 15 are in Asia.
既然今天这一课讲到大都市的生活，我们不妨来学几个形容不同居住环境的字。Urban 这个形容词表示都市的，比如说 urban families 就是住在都会区的家庭。若在 urban 前面加上字首 sub， 就形成了 suburban， 指的是都市外围的郊区。Suburban 是个形容词，名词可以用 suburbs。要注意 suburbs 用复数，是因为一个城市的周围有许多不同的区，那每一个区就是一个 suburb， 整体就是 the suburbs 加 s。 Rural 是比较偏僻的郊外乡村，像人口很少的小镇就属于 rural area。 另外 mega city 是所谓的巨型都市，也就是规模特别巨大的城市，一个 mega city 的人口至少有1000万人。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
Thanks, guys. It's good to know everything between rural and mega city. Well, Jo continues on. She says, it was no comparison to the tightly packed boroughs of New York with their 8 million residents. So her home in Texas was no comparison for that. No comparison to something, or no comparison for something. That means that you can't even compare it. There's no use in even wasting your time comparing something. They're just totally different. How else can you use this phrase, Carolyn?
Well, we were talking about some food and culture earlier, and if you have American pizza and Italian pizza, there's really no comparison because they're very different.
They're very different. Well, Nathaniel, how would you use this phrase, no comparison for something?
There is no comparison between the traffic in the city and the traffic in the country.
Well, that is true, because the traffic in the city is definitely much worse than the traffic in the country. I would say I love to play drums, but I am no comparison to my favorite drummer, Vinny Colaiuta. He's amazing. I love to play, but I am no comparison. Try to use that phrase today. No comparison to something else. She says that this big city in Texas is no comparison to the tightly packed boroughs of New York. Tightly packed. I think of like a pack of sardines or something. What else could be tightly packed?
Well, if you're getting onto a crowded bus, the people would be tightly packed.
Yeah, that does sound like something that would be tightly packed. So New York City is definitely very different from where she is from. She says there are 8 million residents there. And that's different from her hometown. Right now, it's time for us to learn something with Michelle in the Language Lab. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle. 今天的第一个重点，我们看 internship 这个名词。Internship 是指实习的工作。例如 ，Joshua got an internship at Microsoft. Joshua 得到一个在微软的实习工作。Internship 也指医生的实习的阶段。例如 ，Victor completed his internship at the county hospital. Victor 是在郡立医院完成他的实习工作的。如果把字尾的 SHIP 拿掉 ，intern 是指实习生或者是实习医生。继续我们看的是 culture shock 这个名词。culture 是指文化 ，shock 是指冲击，所以 culture shock 是指进入一个新的环境所经历的冲击。例如 ，When we first moved to the States, we went through quite a culture shock. 当我们刚搬到美国时，经历了一段不小的文化冲击。
Well, we're reading about Jo's experience in New York City, a foreign land in her own home country. You probably remember that she is from a big city in Texas, but she went to New York City for what? An internship. And she went there and found a different world, even though it was in her home country. Let's continue to see what other experiences she had there.
A lesson in culture. My new home was in Times Square, a hub constantly filled with traffic, noise, people, and lights. I was used to life at a relaxed pace. New York moved fast. The saying is true. This city never sleeps. I had to adjust. My first reaction was fear. Fear I would fail at my new internship in the 54-story office building. Fear of getting lost on the subway. Fear that the locals wouldn't have patience for my frequent moments of confusion. My anxieties range from reasonable to ridiculous. But I faced my fears and kept trying.
Well, it is important to face your fears and keep trying. Jo, at the beginning of this section, she says her new home was in Times Square. And how does she describe Times Square, Carolyn?
She says it is a hub constantly filled with traffic, noise, people, and lights. So it sounds like a very busy place.
That's right. When I hear the word hub, I do think of a busy place. A hub is kind of a place that might be crowded, or there's lots going on. That's kind of what we mean when we use the word hub. And this hub was constantly filled with traffic, noise, people, and lights. We see that key word there, constantly. That means it's always happening. There's always something going on. How else could you use this word constantly, Nathaniel?
I could say that when I was in college, I was constantly worried about getting my homework done.
Oh my word, I know how you feel. I'm sure many of you know how that feels too. You're constantly worried about getting your work done. What about you, Carolyn? How do you use this word?
Well, I feel like I'm constantly needing to wash dishes.
Man, constantly needing to wash dishes. Does that mean you're constantly eating?
No, it means that dishes seem to magically appear in my sink, and when I get home, they need to be washed.
It's true. Sometimes that's how it feels. There's always dishes in the sink. Well, sometimes I feel like I'm constantly on the go or constantly on the move. And Joe felt like life was constantly filled with traffic, noise, and people, and just the hub was crazy. She says she was used to life at a relaxed pace, but New York moved fast. The saying is true. And what is that saying, Nathaniel?
We call New York the city that doesn't sleep or that never sleeps. It's constantly awake and moving, up and going.
That's right. It is up and going, the city that never sleeps. Remember that about New York. You'll find that it is true, and you may have to adjust, just like Joe did. She says her first reaction was fear. Fear that I would fail at my new internship in the 54-story office building. Fear of getting lost on the subway. I think we should take a look at this word fear. Liz has something to share with us in the Grammar Gym.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Grammar Gym. My name is Liz. Our grammar tip focus can be found in these three sentences. Fear I would fail at my new internship in the 54-story office building. Fear of getting lost on the subway. Fear that the locals wouldn't have patience for my frequent moments of confusion. Notice how these sentences all begin with the word fear. Normally, when we write, we don't repeat certain words again and again because it can make our writing sound boring. However, in today's article, the writer is explaining her fears. She's afraid of failing. She's afraid of getting lost. And she's afraid that people wouldn't be patient with her. This style of writing is often found in formal situations and is usually used to show emphasis on one subject, especially when it's about feelings or emotions. For example, this past month has been really crazy for Jan, and she is tired. Tired of all the work she has to do, tired of taking care of the bills at home, tired of being yelled at by everybody. If you turn to today's grammar tip section in your magazine, you'll find more examples there. And that's it for today. This is Liz from the Grammar Gym saying goodbye.
Thank you so much, Liz. Well, in this last paragraph, Jo is talking mainly about her fears. Again, she has a fear of failing at her internship, a fear of getting lost on the subway, a fear that the locals wouldn't have patience for her frequent moments of confusion. Okay, these are different kinds of fear. And she talks here about moments of confusion. We see this phrase, a moment of something. So it's not always happening, but there are moments of confusion. And how else can you use this phrase, Carolyn?
Well, you could have a moment of fear, mm-hmm. where you just are afraid for a short period of time.
That's right, a moment of fear. Nathaniel, do you ever get moments of nervousness about anything?
I'll tell you what, when I was in high school, I controlled the board for basketball games that mm-hmm. show the score and all of that information, and it was a lot of pressure to do that job. I got very nervous before doing a game.
Well, so it sounds like you probably had many, many moments of fear and anxiety, right?
I would say so.
Well, Jo had moments of confusion. And confusion is one of our key words today. If you are confused, you experience confusion. You're not sure about something. Maybe you heard one thing, but in reality, it's another way. So how have you experienced confusion? Carolyn, have you ever experienced confusion about something?
I feel confused a lot, Gabe, especially living in a foreign country. I have frequent moments of confusion when I don't understand what people are trying to tell me.
Okay, yeah, so you might be confused or experience confusion because of linguistic reasons. What about you, Nathaniel? Do you ever feel confused or experience confusion?
I only like to do one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. So when I feel like there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of different things happening, I could get confused.
Right. Yeah, you might experience confusion then. Sometimes a friend might tell me one thing, but then they do another thing, and then I experience confusion. I'm a bit confused. And we find that Jo also had moments of confusion. Her anxieties ranged from reasonable to ridiculous. If it ranges, that means there's a lot of space in between. It ranged from ridiculous to reasonable, or reasonable to ridiculous. But she faced her fears and kept trying. And that's the important thing, to face your fears. Well, right now it's time for us to learn a little bit more with Michelle.
好，接下来我们看的是 constantly 这个副词。Constantly 是指不断地或者是时常地。例如 ,Sherry is constantly checking her cell phone. Sherry 不断地检视她的手机。她的形容词是去掉字尾的 ly, constant, 意思是持续的。例如 ,his constant nagging really annoys me. 她持续不断地唠叨真的让我觉得很烦。所以我们看的是 confusion 这个不可数名词。Confusion 意思是指困惑或者是混乱。例如 ,there was a lot of confusion about who was the head of the project. 对于谁是这个计划的主导者大家有许多的疑惑。And here we go, teachers!
Well, it looks like Jo had a lot of different fears that she needed to face between her internship and getting lost on the subway or what the locals would think of her and whether or not they would have patience.Sounds like she had a lot to deal with. Have either of you faced any fears?
Yes, I have. I am still not a huge fan of public speaking, but I've had to face that fear many times, and so I've gotten used to it a little more over the years.
Okay, great. So you were able to face your fears, just like Jo.
Well, I tried to, and I still try to face my fears. Sometimes I still do have fears with public speaking.
What about you, Nathaniel? Have you had to face any fears?
Well, I talked about my experience controlling the board for basketball games during high school. It was something I got nervous doing, but I did decide that I had to do it. It was my responsibility. So even if it was uncomfortable, I continued to do that job.
Well, it's really great that you were willing to try to face your fears. And after reading what Jo wrote in her article today, we see that facing your fears is pretty important when you are going to experience a new culture in your own home country. So I hope that you will join us again and we will continue learning more about what Jo experience.
Goodbye.
Bye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. Tom pressed his fingers to his head for a minute. Then he said,
"Ah, now I remember. It blew the candle."
"My word! Go on, Tom, go on!"
"And it seems to me that you said you thought the door was open. You told Sid to go and...
"Yes,"
said Aunt Polly.
"Go on, Tom. What did I tell him to do in your dream?"
"I think you made him shut it."
"Well, that proves it. Don't tell me dreams don't mean anything. Go on, Tom."
"Oh, it's getting clearer now. You said I wasn't really bad, just fun-loving. And then you began to cry."
"So I did. So I did. And then?"
"Then Mrs. Harper began to cry. And she said Joe was the same, and she wished she hadn't punished him for taking the cream that she had thrown out herself."
"Tom, this is wonderful. Go on, Tom."
"Then Sid said, he said..."
"I don't think I said anything,"
said Sid.
"Yes, you did, Sid,"
said Mary.
"Be quiet and let Tom go on. What did he say, Tom?"
"He said, I think he said he hoped I was in a happier world. But if I'd been better sometimes..."
"There! Do you hear that? His very own words!"
"And you stopped him sharply."
"I certainly did."
"And Mrs. Harper told about Joe frightening her with a firecracker. And you told about Peter and the painkiller."
"Just as true as I'm alive!"
"And then there was a lot more talk about what happened. And about the arrangements for Sunday and..."
"Wonderful!"
said Aunt Polly.
"Oh! But look at the time. You'll have to run to school, all of you."